Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Joe Wicks, I'm really excited. Joe did these PE classes and it felt like most of the country was starting their mornings with him, and I want to talk to him about what that must have felt like and the fact that he's now turned that into a proper business, the body coach, because I have a fitness and lifestyle business that I'm building called Ropes, built all around skipping, and I really want to talk to him because I've been doing a lot of work with schools, and me and my Ropes team have been going to schools and doing assemblies and workshops, skipping workshops. So I really want to talk about what it was like for him working with kids. And his first book was the second most bought cookbook of all time after Jamie Oliver 15 Minute Meals. Like, what? I think there's so much to talk to Joe about today. I want to pick his brain.
Are you trying to get some talk for me?
I'm here.
We're fighting to get to the door to let you in.
You know, I could smell the food coming out the window.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Hello, sweetie. Nice to meet you.
How are you?
Well,
guess what? I haven't eaten, so I have come here hungry.
Good man.
So
why haven't you got a coat on, Joe Wicks? Well, I can smell chicken.
You can smell chicken. I'll tell you all about it in about 2 seconds, Mr. Wicks.
Yeah, so
let me tell you what you've got. So underneath there, you've got a plantain and coconut puree, and then you've got a pearl barley risotto, and then I've made a watercress, pea and flatleaf parsley puree that's running through that as well. It's really rich, really moving, lots of chicken stock, a bit of butter and lovely things like that. And then we've got roast chicken, very simply roast chicken, and then this in the cup is more chicken broth to pour around it. And then here you've got like a little pan grattato, like it's toasted crumbs with parmesan and spring onion tops.
Oh, wow. You're a proper chef. You've got all these flavors.
You up, babe.
Like, I'm obviously an amateur cook.
Bring me a plate.
I've cooked a lot of food, but it's very simple. This has got way more flavors than I would cook.
But do you know that my mum was not classically trained in any way? She totally just.
Is that enough chicken? Do you want more chicken?
That's good for now, yeah. Because I'm desperate to tuck into this.
Please!
Because I haven't eaten. I didn't mean to, but I haven't eaten all day, and it's like, what we're talking, it's.
It's quite late. It's 4:15, and you've been in a car for like several hours.
Just here we go. I'm going to try and describe how good this is, but imagine the perfect roast chicken with crispy skin and then like this barley risotto at the bottom with this lovely like broth floating around, and then you get the crispy like parmesan breadcrumbs. Mm. This is so good. It's so delicious.
And thank you, Joe. I wish we had a guest every week to go. This is a podcast.
Just really take us through a little bit. Yeah.
But it's also, this to me is food that is good for you.
It is, yeah.
Because everything is made from scratch. It's they're organic roast chickens. The pearl barley is really good because it's a whole grain. The broth is made from the bones. I roasted chicken wings.
Right.
And then I made a stock from that. And then I've been adding wine and all sorts of things all day, bay leaves and thyme and onions, and just cooking it, roasted a whole bunch of garlic, blitzed it up, passed it through a sieve.
It's got so much flavour.
I am like, oh, it's really simple. And then I realised I did quite a lot.
A lot of work's been done. What's it like for you when you're about to write another book? Because isn't the new book your ninth?
Oh, I wish. This is my 12th.
12?
Yeah, my 12th book.
So
I've done 1,200 recipes basically in the past 8 years. So
this is what I'm
running
saying.
Out of ideas.
Yeah, no, that's this absolutely understandable. But this is what I'm saying. Now that's given me a perfect time frame. The last 8 years has been a completely different life for you, and so busy and filled with so much. What does life look like today compared to like 8 years ago?
Well, obviously, yeah, a lot of different in terms of I've got a wife and three children. And, you know, when I started that first, you might remember the Lean in 15 videos when I was, you know, screaming out the window and throwing the food in the pan. It was just an idea with Instagram.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, I used to throw food in the pan and throw the rice across the room. So like wild, chaotic videos, but never knew what I was doing, really, just having fun. And yeah, so obviously now, fast forward, I've got 12 books, I've got kids, I've got, you know, a business that I run with my brother, the Body Coach business, and life's different, but I love the journey I'm on. I love inspiring people to cook and to move their body, because if you can fall in love with food and you can fall in love with exercise, you will feel good and your life will change in so many ways.
Years ago, I was grieving. I lost somebody, my brother, really close to me. I'm not even going to go into it because I do talk about it a lot. We talked about it a lot on this podcast. But the point that I just picked up on that you said is that if you can eat good food and connect to your body, you can work your way out of the deepest, darkest depths of anything, actually. People, when you're so depressed or you're feeling really terrible, any little light can feel like it's so far away, like it's intangible, ungraspable. Yeah. Like, how the hell am I going to get from here over there where you can see people who look like they're dancing in the sunlight and you feel like you're in a sort of weird cave and you just don't know how to understand it? But literally, for me, it was like putting one foot in front of the other and starting to move my body a little bit every day and starting to eat things that were good for my body. I really hate the idea of bad food and good food, because I think it can create
negative
some very disordered, you know, thinking around food.
But I think that's why your 15 minutes thing is so good, because it's like, I think people need to know they can do things in small steps, because change is hard and it's intimidating and overwhelming. So I always feel when I look at anything that you're doing and it says you can do things in these small little ways, that kind of makes me feel like I could start.
Yeah, I'm glad you say that, because it is about giving people, you know, the tools and the kind of the knowledge just to try and make little changes. And obviously I talk about small daily wins, and that's what you're talking about, similar in terms of you know, the workouts are 15 minutes, the recipes are 15 minutes, and then there's the lovely sort of lifestyle health hacks, I call them, and that could be things like, you know, mindfulness, gratitude, going for a walk, picking up an instrument, reading a book to your kids at night. These little things, they connect you again with yourself, and obviously getting away from the devices and the thing that stresses out, probably social media and the media, it's really positive. So that little action can be positive, which can lead to, you know, you get to bed a bit earlier, you wake up a bit more energy. It's kind of like cyclical, isn't it? So I do believe that small daily wins build up over time.
And making those small changes are the things that become the big transitions.
Yeah, suddenly your life's changed.
Yeah.
Which I just think is beautiful. But when you were younger, I mean, how close were you to the knowledge of all this when you were a kid? Did you know anything about looking after one's brain, one's spirit, one's soul?
No, so I've been quite open about my childhood. I've shared about my upbringing with my parents, and obviously I did a documentary on BBC One around my parents' mental health issues, because I lived in a very chaotic home life, it was like very dysfunctional. My dad was suffering with heroin addiction. My mum had extreme OCD, like cleaning all the time, and alongside that with anxiety.
Your whole life?
Well, it's obviously I'm out of it now, but
I mean, when you were little.
From a little kid. Mm-hmm. So I was born into that environment. My mum had eating disorders and anxiety. And so very confrontational, like, from that. And obviously living with an addict is also challenging. And I think, I didn't have the knowledge. But what I remembered is at a very young age, I remember thinking, I'm anxious and I'm scared and I'm like worried about my dad. I'm upset about things. But when I went to school and did PE and did running and sport and just exerted myself physically, I released that from my body. Thank God, because if I hadn't, if I internalized it, maybe as a teenager, I would have turned to weed and drugs and alcohol and gone down that path. So
did you never do that?
I was so worried that if I did,
you'd end up
I was going to be an addict, and I saw the destruction. So I really kind of steered away from that and went down the sort of fitness route, if you like, and used that as my therapy. And I think some children obviously find sport and exercise quite difficult, but for me, it's quite natural just to run and release all that from my body.
But how was PE in your school? Because, God, it sucked in a lot of my schools. And I really love sports.
Cross country.
Yeah, I loved all that.
Oh, I loved it. That was my thing.
I loved all that.
You like cross country?
Yeah.
Okay. No,
I was like, let's run across the country. Sure.
I was just like, why? A, it's cold. B, it's raining. C, it's Monday.
Yeah, but it's endurance.
D, it's Suffolk. Which is where I grew up.
So in the countryside. Like
flat, muddy, grey, shit, long.
See, this is where we have always differed, because I've always known that sport made me happy.
Excuse me, the sprint queen, athletics champion through 2 years in a row when I was a teenager.
Okay. Oh, so you were
and then I discovered cider and it all went out the window. But before that, I was actually very sporty. I just didn't like cross country. I like things to happen fast.
Ten seconds.
Oh yeah, I'm like, all right, let's sprint. Where are we going? From here to there, I'll beat you. Bang, sorry, can I stop now?
So instead of feel good in 15 minutes, yours would be feel good in 15 seconds.
Feel good in 15 seconds and let's move on to the next thing. I have a very short concentration.
PE was the one class I didn't get kicked out of. I wasn't disruptive. I wasn't the class clown.
Right.
Stick me in maths or English and I was disruptive. I couldn't sit still because I definitely had, you know, a lockdown in my head that I couldn't focus and process that. But when I did the physical stuff, or building stuff, you know, like technology and cooking. I remember doing cooking and thinking, like, I love being in this kitchen, making something with my hands.
Yeah.
And I remember making a little toy box in a design technology. Mm. They were the things that motivated me. They were the things I looked forward to. So PE was always my favourite subject.
I thought it was so clever as well that in lockdown, when you sort of engaged the entire country almost, it felt like that. In 2020, in these PE lessons, I love that they were PE lessons and not PT lessons. They weren't about a personal trainer giving you a personal session. It was about, I think it made the whole country unite and feel like they could do something together, like that we were all in one school or class together. And you didn't stop in lockdown. It feels like that was the craziest time of your
career. Yeah, it seems like I sort of had this mad, crazy moment where like it just kicked off. But it was a slow build-up. Obviously, I was doing a lot of visits to schools. I kind of had the...
Yeah, people always think it's immediate.
Yeah, like I built the trust, if you like, so that when I went live that morning, head teachers, schools were going, look, this is your PE. This is... We know Joe, we trust him. So it's like a long build-up to that moment.
So you'd already been doing things with schools?
Oh, yeah, like I visited tens of schools. I'd done lots of tours because the mission really was to get young kids to connect with exercise and to enjoy it. So
yes.
Right. My dream came true. I didn't want it to be in a COVID pandemic. But I got kids moving and I was so happy, proud of that as well.
So had you started doing the stuff with schools and then COVID came and there was lockdown and you sort of transferred everything you were doing to YouTube?
Yeah, I just knew that I was supposed to go on tour that Monday. The schools I'd already chosen, I was like going to do the tour. And so it's really weird that I was literally going to go on tour that day. And I announced on the Thursday night, I said, Nikki, my brother Nikki, I said, look, I'm supposed to go on tour. Let's do a live workout. Call it Pee with Joe. You know, we'll go live on Monday, see what happens. That Monday morning, I jumped on the live, you know, Nikki's at home, he's on the AirPod, I've got the camera there, I'm in my living room on my own, and he's like, right, Joe, there's 400,000 live streams, there's 600,000, there's 700,000, there's 8, there's 9, there's 900,000 live connections, so you can imagine the millions of people I'm about to step in front of, and I was like, so nervous.
Well, and you're just like in your living room?
In my living room, and I was like, right, I'm really nervous, and I jumped in front of this camera, like, and I just got into it, and once I sort of got into it, I relaxed, but... You know, I realised at that moment there was millions of people, because schools and families doing it.
Needing it.
And I was like, this is my calling, you know. So I did it every day for 18 weeks. And it's kind of like my proudest achievement, I think, in life.
It's a beautiful thing that you did, because there were many, many things that were online when during lockdown that actually gave me more anxiety. You know, when people would go, come on my quiz with 45 people, I'd be like, no, thank you. I don't want to do that. It's stressing me out. Even saying it to me, you saying it to me is stressing me out. Do you know what I mean? There were all these things where people were trying desperately, of course, to connect with each other and find each other. But I found all that very stressful. But there's something like what you were doing was brilliant, because it wasn't actually just about being involved with the screen. It was also about using the space that you were in.
Yeah, using what you had.
Yeah, moving.
Yeah.
And also just like going, all right, let's just do this on YouTube. Let's just do everything we were going to do, but let's do it this way to connect to people. That there's this other way we connect to people. I actually have a fitness and lifestyle business that I'm building called Ropes, which is all about turning people back towards skipping.
Oh, because, yeah, love skipping, yeah.
Yes, because skipping changed my life.
Yeah, I love it.
Look, I just happened to have a few skipping ropes over there, Joe.
Oh, you're not great. I can't do it because I've got bad knee.
Yeah,
no,
I can
but
do
Joe Wicks can skip, Joe surely. Wicks can skip.
Not quite as good as you, but yeah, I do think it is a good exercise. So is that you launch that soon?
Yeah, no, it's happening now. I'm building it by going to schools and doing workshops with kids and doing these skipping workshops. And then like an assembly talking about like, no, it's not just about skipping. It's like I used my rope as a portal to do all the other things I wanted to do in sport and in my life. So because of skipping, I now play tennis and badminton and squash. I continue to skip every day and I know what it does for life. Like, you know, when you know something can change your life, you can't not tell everyone. And I don't know, it was something about doing stuff with kids.
It's not about losing weight or changing how you look, it's really the mind. So if you can deal with the stress and anxiety of being a kid and being stressed as a teenager and living with parents of addiction or mental health issues, that you can overcome that because you can control your emotions with exercise and release that, you know.
And I guess, you know, going back to your own childhood, that was one thing that you had control over, because you can't control grown-ups who are out of control, doing all sorts of things. So for you, that must have, I mean, obviously it was vital, but it must have given you, because I, for me, that was books.
It was books.
Well, it just meant getting to another world, stepping through a portal, as you said, getting to another world, accessing other feelings, other ways of being in the world. And for me, that was reading and sport. But that, it must have been so, so important for you, Joe, to be able to do that.
I think, you know, my childhood and my experiences has formed, you know, my personality and also my drive to want to help others. Like, where does the love and empathy come from? Where does that desire to want to help? I really... I'm so focused on giving and helping. Like, I don't know.
Good.
You know, I think it's because I am. I think I'm happiest when I'm helping someone through, maybe it's a physical transformation or a mental transformation, and seeing kids who exercise and suddenly, like, they're a little bit happier. Because a lot of children, I can see a crowd of children. You might feel the same when you're at school. You see the children that are withdrawn. You can see the sadness and the trauma and the chaos that's happening in their world, because when you're there, they can't process what you're doing. But suddenly they sort of move a little bit and have a dance.
Yes, yes.
And they see everyone else. And then you see them lift up. And that is amazing. And you've seen that yourself.
Totally. It is actually, you're talking about needing to feel good in 15 seconds. Skipping is like that. Because once you get it, this joy comes on. Adults as well. Adults look
you
like
love
they're
skipping,
seven.
Don't you? You really
I
do.
Love
you know
skipping.
What? I'm going to get my skipping right back out. Because I realise, you're so right. It's one of those things, when I pick up, when I do it in the mirror, I feel like, yeah, you get into a rhythm and it feels so good.
It's a bit
good.
Like a dance, isn't it?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I know that you had what was going on in your household, but the area that you grew up in that time, because I think you grew up in a place that I always thought would be an idyllic place to grow up.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like, obviously, you've got Epsom Downs and you've got like beautiful parks. It's a suburb.
I know that you
but
had,
you still had your council
estate.
You still had your, you know, your ruffians and your wrong-uns running about. There's still a little bit of crime, but definitely it felt like a safe place. But
were you on an estate?
So I grew up on a council estate, yeah. And then obviously we moved when I was probably about 11 to another estate, but it was still council owned. But
in the same part of town?
I moved from a place called Water's Edge over to Epsom. Yeah, like, it was a nice place to grow up. You know, I went to a nice school.
I always wanted to grow up on an estate. I always
did. Well, it's chaos because you've obviously got, like, so many personalities. And, you know, obviously I was in a household where we were probably the loudest, lariest neighbours on the block because of my dad and my mum, just a lot of
stuff
arguing.
Going on. Yeah,
yeah, so we weren't supposed to amount to much, me and my family, you know. So I'm really proud that I broke away from that tradition and I broke the cycle, I think.
Was this something that you would think about when you were younger, like breaking the cycle, thinking, I don't want to do that. I want to do other things in my life.
Definitely around the drugs. When I thought about, you know, my kind of experience with that, you know, I was so scared that if I tried drink or smoke weed, I'd become an addict and it would ruin my life. So I just saw the destruction like that it caused my dad and the pain. So I definitely think I was reluctant to do that. And obviously when other friends who come from a completely different background, completely what you think was a stable loving home, you know, they're the ones that were hitting the booze, they were smoking weed and they were graffitiing and getting in trouble. Yeah. So like, I think there's a pivotal moment where I chose to hang out with certain groups of friends. I chose to join a gym as opposed to going down the park every night. I'd be out, you know, after school, I'd be in the gym at 16, like just trying to be
fit. So that you were that thoughtful about it. And I guess, you know, the trauma or the difficulty of having making those kind of conscious choices that young is very, it's extraordinary, really. It's commendable.
It embeds it in
I
your
mean,
soul
most 16-year-olds are deciding what kind of puffer jacket they're going to have, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I just think...
pointing no fingers and naming no names for Keith Oliver.
Do you mean I was hosting Pop World at 16? She was working.
Wow, you were that working that young?
Yeah. She started 15 when she started working. I made her...
No. So, no.
I was like, if you don't get a job, you're out of it, kid.
No, but I was definitely... My working life started really early.
And wow, so are you kind of burnt out from it now, or do you still love it?
Not now, I was at 28.
Give a little break, yeah.
I had the burnout.
28, she was like Betty Ford, you know?
I think you do. That's why I was interested in how long it's been like this for you now, the 8 years of kind of took it, because I didn't know how to look after my body and mind and spirit when I first started working. I was a kid.
I
would have had such a different career, but I don't regret anything and everything's happened in the right way. But it's the most useful thing you can have, to know the knowledge to look after your mind and body and soul and spirit.
I mean, there are certain base things, like you say, connecting to yourself physically, connecting yourself emotionally, but there are certain things that are different for everybody. And everybody has to find their own way into whatever is going to nourish them and make them feel good, right? How do you approach that with your own kids?
So, yeah, I've obviously got three kids now. It's pretty chaotic. And I
so how old are they?
I've got a 5, a 3, and a 1-year-old.
Lord have mercy.
That is intense.
Yeah, so they're
arguing. That was a long lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, we got busy. But they, you know, the thing about kids is they're amazing and I love them, but they argue all day, and that's what's difficult for me.
Yeah.
So it's trying to take them out of situations where they argue. So we don't have much screen time. We don't have iPads. You know, we do a lot more outdoorsy stuff. So going to the park, going on our scooters, you know, going for bike rides and things. Like, anything that gets you out and about means they're releasing their energy. They're sort of, you know, running around and letting some steam off. And I, as a parent, are calmer, because it's the things like, you know, rushing out the house or fighting over PlayStation 5s and all that sort of stuff. So I think little activities, I talk about in the book, you know, the health hacks, things like... you know, we do little things, like we do a dance party. We turn the music on.
Oh, yeah.
I say, and Indy always goes, Alexa, play 21 Seconds by So Solid Crew. My little daughter loves it.
And then how old is she?
She's 5.
What's her name?
She's called Indy.
All right, Indy.
So we've got Indy on our... We love listening to, like, you know, Pure Garage and stuff.
Excuse me.
We love Indy.
No, Joe, I didn't know you were an old school garage head.
Yeah, I was born in 85 and I was partying in 2000, like millennium. Right?
Come so now.
Standards.
I grew up on, like, you know, Pure Garage and Easy Like an MC Neat and all that.
Yes,
all that
classic. Yes.
So we've got her into that. So she'll whack on 21 Seconds. And at the moment, she's obsessed with Justin Bieber, you know, Baby.
Cool.
And
of course. She's the only human.
She loves, she's obsessed as well with another song, Olivia Rodrigo.
This is what Lily's kids are obsessed with.
Oh, Olivia Rodrigo. So didn't Lily sing with her and they went mental?
There's a few random songs, but we basically have a little dance party. So we put
always
the chains on and we jump around the sofa, and that is like fun, it's movement, it's exercise. And that is a nice way of just connecting as a family and just having a bit of fun. And so that is movement.
I read that you bought your mum a lovely home.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's weird because someone else asked me to say like it's a huge thing. I think anyone that, get a chance to make money in this world and you can like repay something to your parents, I know it's cliche, but I had this desire to want to buy her council house to say like, it's like just one thing to say, you own that, it's yours. As a kid in that environment, all we ever worried about was money.
Yes.
You know, none of our family ever had even a mortgage, let alone own property. So I love that, you know, I could do that. And she now just says every day she wakes up and she's so great. Because the thing about my mum, she was obsessed with like the cleaning the house. It was like an IKEA showroom, right?
Right.
But I'd come home from school, and in the time I'd got home, she would have redecorated my bedroom. Like, she would have wallpapered it.
No.
Changed the bed sheets and the curtains. You know, like,
oh, because she's OCD. She had
It was just her thing. It was every sort of 6 months to a year, she would redecorate a room.
Right.
And she'd go on to, you know, like the next catalogue, you'd get like the matching bed sheets, pillows, and curtains. She could never really change the house structurally, but once it was her, she was smashing walls down, extending this, extending that. And so she loves it. It's a lovely little, you know, it's a little 3-bedroom house, but for her, it's like, that's her nest, and she's
so
happy.
But that is a big thing to do.
It is.
That sounds like a small thing to do to you now, but actually for me, you know, if it was like 20 years ago and I still had no money, and Makita turned around to me one day and said, I bought you your house, I would have been in bits.
That I bought you a bed.
You did buy me a bed, and I've still got that bed. I know. It's still my bed. I love it. It's like a beautiful wooden
You spend a lot of time in bed, so that's a good investment.
It's like a sleigh bed, you know, those gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Wooden front and end.
It's a stunning bed. It's not like one of them crap ones you sell in the pool.
But Joe, I really understand what you mean, because when we grew up, my mum didn't have any money, no money, and that was my biggest fear, always, like not having a place in the city that we lived in that was just safe, like that couldn't be pulled from under us, you know. And we did lose our housing trust flat, and it totally ruined our stability for a good few years. It really rocked us. Like, when I don't think people understand, when you're in poverty and you lose your home, you don't have many places to go.
Well, look, you've done amazing. This is a beautiful home. It's warm and it's lovely garden. It's all, they've got lovely little twinkly lights up. And I just want you to know, for those listening, I've polished this whole plate off. Look, I want to suck the chicken off the bone.
Do it. That's how you meant to do it.
Go for it. Have a good time.
What I like about you is that you've made a recipe that isn't like too crunchy and chewy. Because, you know, like I'm eating this on the sly.
Yeah.
It was like really chunky, crunchy stuff. I wouldn't have touched
it. Eating it to the left.
Yeah, I wouldn't have touched it.
No. Please pick up the chicken and eat it. That's the way you're meant to eat chicken, by the way.
That's the skin, yeah.
On the bone. Yeah, that's.
Get involved.
Can I please Merry Christmas you for eating the chicken properly?
That's where the flavour is.
Correct chicken enjoyment.
How often do you get cooked for now that you are the chef and you're...
Do you feel like a chef?
I never call myself a chef. I'm happy to call myself a cook, a home cook, and I'm really proud that I've got a lot of people cooking. I think, especially with the early books in terms of students and guys that thought cooking was really weird and out of my depth, but actually I gave people confidence to try.
I have to say, it's one of the most impressive things that audience, that market, not even that market, those people, to tap into those people who just wouldn't have thought cooking was for them. Not only is it brilliant, but it's also so important.
It's a life skill. Yeah, I teach my children to cook, because I think if you can teach your children to cook and to enjoy food and to really enjoy the process and be adventurous, then you're setting up for a really healthy life. If they're eating just beige food and they've got no appetite, or they don't want to be involved and it's just sticking in front of the TV, of course they're going to have fussy habits. It is hard with kids, but you've got to keep trying new things. And I think bringing them into the kitchen helps them want to be more adventurous. But I do most of the cooking. Rosie will cook sometimes, but, you know, if I'm not my wife Rosie, if I'm not cooking, we might go eat out together, and, you know, we love eating out in restaurants and things.
Do you have any vices, Joe?
So I was just
like, come on.
Vices, well,
come on,
probably.
Where's grubby, Joe?
I mean, it would be when I go on a blowout and have, like, you know, chocolate ice cream, crisps, fizzy fangs, fruit pastels.
That's my boy.
Like,
got
ice cream.
It.
I love all those things. Of course I do. I
mean, and another gin.
I'm not a massive drinker, because it's more like I have a couple of cocktails for dinner and stuff.
Yeah.
But I do love, you know, I really do love ultra processed.
A monster munch.
flaming hot monster munch.
You so called good. Him mum.
You were just giving me a monster munch vibe.
Yeah. I look like that kind of guy, and I can't ever do one pack. I mean, the thing about me is, like, you know, the foods are so Moorish and they're designed to be Moorish. So I can't just have one Oreo or one, you know, one crisp or one handful of popcorn. I eat the whole thing, so can't help it.
There is excess built into your DNA somewhere.
I just like, I'm greedy and I like being full up. Like, I like being stuffed, you know? So when I eat, like, if I was eating this now with you, I'd probably have, like, a couple of slices of bread and bits.
Double carb. I approve of you more and more, Joey Witch, by the second. Double carb. You like some monster mugs. I like it.
But I like that. I like the idea of wanting to feel full, you know, and enjoying that feeling. So many people eat loads of food and then they just sit around in guilt and shame.
But it's about sated, isn't it? So when people often ask me, and you must get asked this a lot, actually, what's your guilty pleasure? I always say, I don't feel guilty about pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
Why am I meant to feel guilty? If it's pleasurable and I'm feeling guilty about it, it's not much fun, is it?
Yeah. And I don't feel emotionally guilty about a binge, but I do feel, like, physically I feel bloated and lethargic. Mm-hmm. And I think, did like that, but it ain't good for my guts.
I'm done.
And especially the sugar and that really kind of doesn't do me well. So I do it, I have a blowout, and then the next day I'm like, right, I want to remind myself why I like cooking from scratch.
And how long have you and Rosie been married and together?
You're like this. I met Rosie at a rave in London. It's called Studio 338, it was called, and it was the night's called Abode. It's like, my mate was DJing, and I knew that he was married to this girl called Daisy, and Daisy works with Rosie. So I really wanted to meet Rosie, and the reason I knew of Rosie is because Rosie was a page 3 model in the Sun newspaper.
Oh, stop it.
And she'd done, like, Nuts and Zoo and all their magazines. So I'm obviously, like, obsessed with this girl. I think she's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Oh, right. Okay, imagine, so you already
liked
her.
Yeah, I knew her. Like, of course I did. Like, because I used to be on the building sites and I'd buy the newspaper.
Right.
I'd buy Nuts and Zoo. Like, I was a young guy and I thought she was beautiful anyway.
God, Nuts and Zoo, do you remember?
I thought if I
not
could meet...
Really.
They were like, and they didn't last long. They were like a cheap sort of boys, young men's mag.
Yeah, it was sort of like, slightly for younger boys maybe, but they were huge. Like, are we talking tits and teeth?
Boobs, yeah, but just boobs only, yeah.
Just no teeth, just teeth.
Teeth well, yeah.
All Joe's always boobs.
I think it'd be very clear what we're talking about.
So okay, you're having your eye on her. This is nice.
So I just thought if I could meet her, like, I'd love to just meet her. Imagine if she's nice. Imagine if she's cool. And like, what would that
mean? As well as being really beautiful and gorgeous.
Yeah, and so when I met Rosie, like, she is really just such a beautiful human being. She's so, aww, you know, she's an amazing mum. And, you know, we met and it was like really love kind
how
of
how did
away.
You meet then? Did you orchestrate this? How did you make it
so
happen?
So my mate said, I'm DJing. And I wasn't into house music at the time. So I went up there on the train from Surbiton. And I was
I'm still not into it, by the way.
Want to meet this girl. And we actually just became friends and we just sort of like chatting. And we weren't like together from the moment we met. We were just talking for a few months. You know, we got to know each other. And then when we finally met, you know, it was like instant kind of like, I just can't be away
that's
from this girl.
That's kind of nice though, isn't it? Because that to me is about your soul connecting. And we talk about this a lot, you know, soul connection. It's like there are some people in your life and they can be your romantic love or your friendship love, you know, like you and Tall Phoebe, for instance, mm-hmm. me and my best friend Nana. There were like people you meet in the world and you go,
yeah, where have you been?
That's they just weird. Feel like you. Like, she just felt like a sort of female version of me.
And you don't realise there's a bit missing and vice versa, I think. And those are the special magical moments. And if you're not careful, you can miss those moments, right?
So I've been together for 7 years now. We've been married for 4.
Do you aww. Still go garage roving together every now and then?
Yeah, we still, now and again, like, you know, if I'm in Vegas or Ibiza, or, you know, like, cause my mate...
It's all just got a bit more international now. It's like, now it's like, Vegas.
Hang on a minute, where did we start?
Where did Surbiton
where
go?
Was the first one? Surbiton.
No, Greenwich.
Greenwich,
you sort of, in Vegas or Ibiza. Slightly different. Slightly
but
different
I feel like I had a little moment where I was like, I really like raving. I was going to like, you know, in London, there's this place called The Beams. I actually like an early night.
just wanted to meet Rosie.
Actually, I'm quite into being cosy now.
And now we're going to fall out, though.
Why? What are we
because
talking
of
about?
The icy bath, Joe.
Oh, I mean, yes. Now, I
saw a picture of you.
She's scared.
With your little happy, shiny face. You're like, look at me! Freezing my ass off. I'm like, what is he doing? Pass me a picture.
Mum, it's invigorating and exhilarating. Tell us about the ice bath
it makes
for you.
Me want to hurl myself off a cliff.
Well, so, I do love the photo. So David Loftus is the photographer on all of Jamie Oliver's books.
Isn't he great?
I'd love to meet him, and he's the most wonderful human. He's standing over me there in the ice bath. And I don't know, it's like...
Freezing.
It's, what's the word?
Exhilarating.
Exhilarating, yeah.
Exhilarating,
and it's for me, it's about mental. It's not about like, oh, my muscles feel good and my joints feel good. It's really all about the mind. It's controlling the breath.
You look so happy. How long do you do in your ice bath?
I average about sort of 2 to 3 minutes, but recently, since I've come back from America, I haven't done it for a while, I'm like, 2 seconds, 3 seconds,
in and out.
Because you've got to build your tolerance up again a little
bit. It's also December.
Yeah, you know what? In December, you don't need an ice bath. You can just have a cold shower and the temperature is running so cold.
Yeah. I am so
scared of being cold.
Against the cold. Not scared.
You are scared.
Oh, I am scared.
I used to be the same. I used to hate the cold. But
I mean, I could run as a political party. Anti-cold political. I hate being cold so much. I'm a fairly happy person. I'm quite perky. As soon as I'm cold, I'm such an arsehole. I just can't deal with it. People try and get me to go camping. I'm like, why would you want to do that? I'll ruin the entire weekend. You'll all be trying to have a nice time and I'll just be going,
don't worry, we've stopped asking you to those events. But what led you to start sitting in a bloody ice cold?
I suppose like the whole sort of Wim Hof thing, seeing him talk about it, made me curious as to like, what is this all about? And I know it's become a thing, like everyone seems to be doing it, but I was like, I'm going to try it out. You know, I started with the cold showers for 30 seconds. And I used to really get, in the winter especially, like a lot of like asthmatic coughs, tight chest, you know, quite wheezy. But since I've done the ice baths, I think I've learned to control that feeling of cold on my chest.
Wow.
And I don't get the tight chest. I'm not using my inhaler as much. So it's helped with that. But for me, it's like, if I'm stressed and I'm not in the mood to exercise, I can go and do an ice bath and I sort of get a similar sort of feeling like, oh you're all right. Things ain't that bad.
Bring it back to the moment. It settles your spirit.
It bring. Like, imagine if you've got all these things in your mind, right?
Well, I don't need to imagine.
You've got things that are stressing you out, kids, work, family, business, and suddenly you get thrown into an ice cold lake. You ain't going to be thinking about all that stuff, are you? That's irrelevant because you're trying
true.
To survive.
It's so true. That's it. And it's not necessarily... Well, you go to survival mode, which clears all the bullshit.
Where do you do your ice baths?
I don't.
She's never been in an ice bath.
And so where do you do yours? No, never done
it. Oh, I thought you said you did it.
No, I'm very interested.
She's into it.
Well, Rosie, my wife, she obviously observes and she sees me going in there, but I said...
Does she do it?
Observing?
No, she just doesn't... She's put her, knees... She's gone up to her knees. I do try and encourage her, but yeah, she's just not into it.
Even if I go in a sauna and a steam, I can't get in the cold shower afterwards.
Oh,
in Antigua, our family, in January, they don't even go in the sea.
Really?
Too cold.
No way.
Too cold. In Antigua.
Oh, that's crazy.
Do you think that in a relationship, you both have to be aligned with kind of like the way you want to live? Like, not just sharing the same values.
Yeah.
But like wanting to look after the way you eat, make sure the kids aren't on screen time too much. Like, all that has got to really be aligned, I suppose.
Yeah, I think in terms of that personal, fitness goals, not so much. But with the actual, the parenting side of things, you've got to be in line. You've got to have the same idea. Because if one of you saying, give them that or let them watch that, and the other one's like, well, I really want to do some learning or I want to do something different, you are going to bang heads and have a little argument. So I think we're quite similar in that respect to how we want to raise the kids.
But Rosie's a hero. Didn't she take over the PE lessons when you'd hurt your knee?
Yeah, so
for
Rosie,
millions of people.
Rosie was my teaching assistant. So I broke my hand a few days before the PE with Joe went live. I went out on my motorbike and I went around a corner and I sort of panicked a little bit and I hit a wall and I broke my hand. So that happened, and then sort of 6 weeks into it, I started feeling the pain, like the wire in the hand got infected. So I'm in agony.
Shit.
So Friday afternoon, go to the hospital, spent the weekend in the hospital, morphine, liquid paracetamol, the lot. I was really in a lot of pain. And they took the wire out and I said, right, Rosie, I can't do it on Monday, but do you mind stepping in and being my teaching assistant? So Rosie's there in her gym kit and I'm there with a clipboard in my suit and tie. And so for one or two episodes, she became my teaching assistant. And obviously everyone was just loving that she jumped in, and that's not her comfort zone.
Yeah, she must have been nervous to just stay, even if it is just in the living room. She knows how many people are watching.
Yeah, she was really amazing.
It's quite weird, that stuff though, isn't it? Because it's like, okay, so how many people watch your things?
I think we got the millions.
There's probably a few million every day in terms of numbers.
I mean, that's insane, right?
That's mad, yeah.
I'm like, 50 people watched, yeah!
But also our agent Jess, who's just over there, she said her kids still do it. It really stayed with people as something that they wanted to keep in their lives, whether you were a kid or an adult or anything.
You're quite a youthful person, though. Your energy is quite youthful.
Yeah, I think so. I like keeping in touch with that side of me. But I'm really happy when I'm doing the schools tours and I'm playing with my kids and we're all together just messing around and I'm, just being a bit of a prat, really, being childish.
Play.
Yeah,
in the play of life, yes.
So who is the business brain? Because, I mean, it's lovely, all the things you do, but it's a sort of multi-million pound massive...
Empire now.
Empire you've got going on, Joe. Who is the business brain person? Is that you?
It's Nikki.
Well, I think I'd say, I'm obviously the face of the body coach and I've got a great kind of marketing and in terms of communicating and just sharing content and inspiring. But in terms of the business side, I wouldn't have had an app if it wasn't for Nikki. Nikki was come, we've got to.
That's your brother.
Yeah, Nikki's my brother. And he's we've got to evolve. You can't just do a PDF. You've got to evolve and innovate. And so he's really helped me also with the app, but also managing people. I can't manage people.
You've got a team now.
Yeah, there's 30 people in an office in Richmond. I'm not really involved in that side.
Imagine, there must be.
Joe, that's fab.
Me and Nikki, we're founders and we're self-funded. We're on this mad journey together. And we love that we've managed to really create a business out of something we love. And that's quite rare in life. Because we're really proud that we run this company and it's, we're not just selling pots and pans or energy drinks or we're selling a physical and mental transformation.
That's powerful shit. It is a powerful thing to feel like you can bring any change to anyone's life.
I love that.
I feel fantastic. This meal has been so delicious. And it's nice that it's in your home. Because sometimes in a studio, I just feel more relaxed being here.
You're good. I'm really glad.
Than a studio with hundreds of cameras on me.
Joe, it's been such a pleasure.
So lovely.
Meet you, honestly.
Thank you so much.
I'm so pleased you're an old garage head. I think we should go garage raving one day. Me and Rosie.
You won't believe this. So the other day, there was they call it little rave. It's like a kiddies rave, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Parents can go, and a solo crew were there. It was the Works in Kingston or Ministry of Sound or something. They'd done 21 seconds. My brother's kids went, and she said it was the best 2 hours of their life, and there's little toddlers raving to 21 seconds.
You know what? Raise a glass, ready, guys. Wait.
Romeo done.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
How was Joe Wicks that sweet?
I knew he was going to be lovely. I didn't know he'd be so gentle. I liked when he said today, actually, when he said, because it's so beautiful, he runs this whole empire with his brother. Nothing was expected from my family.
No, they
we weren't expected to do anything.
He broke the cycle. They broke the cycle.
And what a thing to know that you broke a cycle. And they really care about what they're doing for people, and they really are changing things for people.
That's why it hits.
Because it's true.
The fact that he is a genuinely kind, sweet, gentle, quite driven in an unexpected way.
Yeah.
Like, if you met him in a bar, you wouldn't think he was running a sort of multi-million pound empire at all.
And I think that's also where it comes down to his intent. I don't think his intent ever was to.
No.
He really did just want to give back what changed his life.
Yes.
Like, give it to others. And that's why I wanted to talk to him about ropes, because I was like, if you start something in this place of nurture and with good intent, then it's even more beautiful when it becomes a success. And I think that's why his success is so great to see, and why people love to see him succeed.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.